In 1871, there was a wealthy lawyer and real estate owner named Horatio Spafford, and had a very successful practice, doing well, beautiful family. He had a four-year-old son died of pneumonia, one of the top killers of people. It's always been pneumonia. And then the great Chicago fire erupted and just burned down the city of Chicago in 1871, where all of his real estate holdings were, where his law office was. And Chicago was in ruins. He started to rebuild his life and rebuild his business. But his family was still under a lot of stress, and the years following the fire had been really demanding on them and their life, going from nothing and trying to rebuild things literally out of the ashes. And so he planned a European vacation, but there were some business issues that got a little wonky, and he needed to send his wife and four daughters on ahead of him. And said, I'll catch a later boat. 4 days into this transatlantic journey, the ship that his wife and four daughters were on, crashed into another ship in the big Atlantic Ocean, crashed, and within minutes their ship sank, and almost everyone on board survived. His wife Anna was found by a fisherman with a small boat, just holding on to a piece of driftwood. All four of the daughters had died. And Horatio finds out first about the ship going down from newspaper reports. And then his wife Anna is taken to England, and she sends him a telegraph with only these words: "Saved alone, what shall I do?" And immediately Horatio got on a train and headed for the coast and got on a ship to go see his wife. And the ship's captain, knowing the man's story, paused at the place for just a little bit, where the other ship had gone down, and he lost his daughters. And Horatio drafted the beginnings of these words: as he knelt on the rail of the ship, tears streaming down his face, picked up a pencil, began jotting down these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And the Lord haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." A few years later, Horatio shared that with some people, and that became one of the best, most well-known hymns in the world. So our question for today is that, do you and I have a faith like that, that can go through the dark valleys of life, times of despair and grief and loss, and still find something solid to stand on? We all live by faith. We all live by faith. We all build our life on something, but is that something that we have built our life on, or some things that we've built our life on, that foundation, does it hold up under the storms like that? From its earliest days, how Christians weathered the hardships and the suffering of life is one of the biggest things, the strongest things that drew people to Christianity. It's how they face suffering. It's how they face persecution. It's how they face hardship. Christians, for sure, experience pain and grief and loss and sorrow and anger, and often we experience that to a greater degree than other people do. Because the life of Christ inside of us emphasizes all the more that things shouldn't be this way. Because we love people. And so we experience the tragedy of life on even on deeper levels. We know that things shouldn't be this way. We value people. We love what is good. We hate what is evil. And so we feel the tragedy even more. But Christians have always been people that walk through sorrow and tragedy and loss and grief, and with a foundation. There's something else there that holds us up in the midst of those things. Do you have that? And do I have that? Last few weeks, as you know, hopefully you know, that we've been talking about living with God as King. Loyalty born of gratitude, predecided obedience, that not selective obedience, but predecided obedience, whole-bodied listening, the way that sheep listen to their shepherd. I am following you. I am listening to you. You are life to me. Living. Last week we talked about living with great expectations. When God is our King, when Jesus is our King, there is we live with great expectations of Him. Not small things. We don't pray like, God, if you're willing, and if you would, and if you don't mind, and I don't want to bother you about this. No, we pray with great expectations. Because with both authority comes responsibility, and with responsibility comes authority. And if Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then and all authority belongs to Him, then all responsibility also belongs to Him. And we approach Jesus, we approach God as sons and daughters of God, adopted into His family with promises that are made to us. And so we live with that in great expectation of God, and we pray that way. It gives us strength and courage, clarity, persistence. And also as children of God, we live with a deeper sense of well-being. One of the gotten to be with a lot of people as they die. One of my favorites, if it can be said that way, was a friend of mine named Timothy Bader. I've mentioned him before, but he was the person that is closest to God than anybody that I ever knew. His life fell apart largely because of because of his own self, and in that out of that he turned his life to God and gave the rest of his years to Him, and God did amazing things with him, and Timothy lived a life of prayer, just constantly in communion with God, and it was just different. It made him so different and so such a beautiful person that he would. The things that the insights that he would have, the things that he knew that nobody else could know about you and about you and about me and whatever, as he's spending time with, it's just promptings of the Holy Spirit. And he would say, "Hey, Tristan, God just wants me to tell you this." And you're like, "Oh my gosh, what?" And he said, "I just deliver the mail. Like it's not for me. I'm not special. I just deliver the mail." So he died of this stomach gut cancer, very, very painful. And he said, said, you know, I don't get afraid of dying. But I do get afraid sometimes, especially in the night. I get afraid of the pain coming back. And sometimes the fear of the pain coming back is almost worse than when the pain comes back. But there were some scriptures that he particularly loved that was anchoring his life. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we live with God as King, there's well-being in that. There's peace in that. There's security in that. There is a decrease of anxiety in that, because we just focus on our shepherd, we focus on our King, and we know that all will be well. That there will be hardships and there will be pain and there will be suffering in this life, but all will be well. That whatever story that we are handing off to our God and our King, that God can make it turn out well. That God works all things for the good of those who love Him. We'll get to that. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, and I do not give you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's a command. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Who here has ever had a troubled heart? Right? So there's this old, who was it? It's not Bob Hope. An old comedy skit where a guy's coming in to a counselor, and he's got all these different problems. And all the, what was it? Bob Newhart. Yeah, thank you. You seen this, Tommy? Yeah, where this guy goes into the counselor, and Bob Newhart, the counselor, just says, this guy said, "Well, I get really nervous and this and that and whatever, and then I do this." And he's like, "Well, stop it. You know, we'll stop it." Like, "Well, okay, all right. Well, really, that's it? Okay. Well, in these situations, this happens, and I end up doing this thing." He's like, "Well, stop it. Just stop it." And I used to think that when Jesus was saying, like, "Hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, no, whatever, like, don't do it," that was like, "All right, God, you know, you're the Son of God, and blah, whatever, you know, that's a little insensitive just to tell people that actually know what it's like to suffer and to starve and this and that and whatever else it might be, to just stop it." But that's actually the best advice. That is the best commandment, like that Jesus, your God and your King, says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid." How, I forget what the number is in the Bible, but it is a lot where God says to God's people, "Do not be afraid, stop it."
It's well over 100.
Well over 100, stop it, yeah, just stop it. Out of obedience to Him, "My peace I give you. I do not give you peace as the world gives, temporary and situational. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Anchor your life in me." When fear comes in the night, to my friend Timothy, when anxieties come, just stop it. Turn your attention back to God. Romans 8:31-37. The Apostle Paul writes this. "What then shall I say in response to all that God has done for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter.' Know in all things that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Those words and that perspective was written onto the heart and the soul of my friend Timothy. It was written into the heart and soul of Christian people. That we have well-being because God is our King. We take a knee before Him and He is our authority, He is our God, He is our Savior, He is our Rescuer. And we just anchor our life in Him. And that nothing that happens to us in life can take that away. That happens for us in a very, like, in very, very simple ways. That Christians, we fix our eyes on the cross, and we fix our eyes, the eyes of our life, on the resurrection. Maybe it's maybe literally in those moments. Maybe in the story of your life, remembering how God has saved you, and remembering how God has saved you over and over and over again, has been your rescuer. In the cross, we remember that we are loved and we are known, that we are treasured and that we are forgiven, and that no matter what it is that we're going through, what Horatio would have known on that ship crossing the Atlantic is, I don't have an answer for this. I don't know and why the breadth and the width of the entire Atlantic Ocean, the two ships collided and all four of my daughters drowned to death. I don't have an answer for that, but I do know that they were loved, and that I am loved, and that I am known, and that we are all known and treasured and forgiven. And in the resurrection, we know that we have hope and power and courage and strength, that the story of those little girls isn't over, and their life isn't over. And the story of that family isn't over. Because when we anchor our life in Him and we put our hope in Him and we say, we are tired, we don't want to live anymore out of treason to You, our good God, our good King, our Savior and our Lord, and we give our life to You, that in that, we know that we will live with Him forever and that we have that resurrection power in our life. And so we have hope and power and courage to overcome all things. So God's people, you have a King, you have a God, you have a Maker, you have a Savior, you have a Lord. How will we respond to Him today? Join with your brothers and sisters around the world and throughout history, that as we go through hard times, we go through loss and suffering and all of those things, that we know that our Redeemer lives, that we know that we will be okay, that all will be well in the end, that there is a King and a God that holds us and that holds our life, and we don't have to have the answers to all things. But we've been given peace. All will be well. Let's pray.